I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You ever heard that saying? I know that's pretty big down where I come from, and one certain person I know of likes to say that quite often. And I've always asked myself, what is at the other end of that 10-foot pole? Is it worth touching? Is it something good or is it something bad? And by the way the phrase is used, it must not be good, otherwise I would be touching it even at such a safe distance. But then I got to thinking, if we set a 10-foot pole upright, what might be at the top of that pole? So far, there's only two things that come to my mind, and I'm sure you might share some others with me later. The first that popped in my mind was a basketball goal, because I know the average height of a pro basketball goal is 10 feet. But then, as I drive during the evening, I look by the side of the road and see a lot of street lights that are attached to poles. And some of them can be very, very useful. But go back in your minds to a time when something very scary might be atop of a pole. Something that if you heard about was there, something you would really want to look at. Especially if your life was in great danger. I'm talking about the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Here in this chapter, we read about the children of Israel who began to wander around in the wilderness. And you'll recall that they had just journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, according to verse 4. And they were going to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a certain had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now imagine if you're one of the Israelites, and had a very limited diet. After all, you just escaped a land where you did a lot of hard work, but you also got decent food. And while you were there, you didn't like the way you lived, but you certainly enjoyed the way you ate. And then as you begin to leave and to go to who knows where, and walking about for who knows how long, all you have to eat is this manna. Well, surely they would complain because that's not like Mama fixed it, as we often hear. And you know, we find that they shouldn't be doing that at all. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said to do all things without complaining and disputing. And so, when they think about their wickedness and what they had done, they began to be remorseful. And when they went to Moses and asked for his forgiveness and God's forgiveness, Moses gave them a way out. Because God told him to put a serpent on a pole. When you think about all the serpents that God sent to devour them, all they had to do was to look at one to remember the grace of God and His goodness. And recognizing their sin, they would go to where God told them to go to receive forgiveness. Sadly, things did not always stay that way. Because later in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4, we find that King Hezekiah had to have this destroyed because later people would burn incense to it. And so taking something God gave them for good, turned that into perhaps their own God. But then when you think about looking at a pole and seeing that bronze serpent, later you find that even Jesus referred to that in a conversation with Nicodemus. When you go to John chapter 3, you find Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and asks him about how one can be born again. After all, he realizes that he must be from God. Otherwise, he cannot do those things. So Jesus begins to teach him, and during that conversation, in verse 12, Jesus says, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you think about the comparison in the Old Testament, people looking up to a pole and seeing the serpent, in the New Testament, we could look up and see Jesus, not hanging on just a pole, but on the cross. Jesus is called in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that we must have faith in order to come to God. By looking to him, he is the one that can save us from eternal death. This evening, that decision is up to you and to me. Do we have faith in God? Are we looking up to Christ? Are we willing to come to him that we might have eternal life? He died for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world. If you need to be a part of the Lord's church, to have your sins washed away, becoming a member of the body of Christ, or if you've wandered away and wish to return home, we all, as God, welcome you with open arms. This evening, as together we stand and sing.